right, that was fun. That was great singing. Great singing. Let's stand together. We'll read these scriptures, Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 5 to 9. Proverbs chapter 3, and we will read verses 5 to 9. I want to speak to you this afternoon about a heart that trusts God. A heart that trusts God. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Read with me responsibly, verse 6. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Let's read verse number 5 again together. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." We want to have a heart that trusts God. A heart that trusts God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray this afternoon that you'd use me and use your word to accomplish your purpose in our hearts and in our lives. Speak to us, Lord. We need you. Help me to say what you would want me to say and maybe not say anything that I should not say. But speak to us. Help us to be people that listen to you, that trust you, that obey your voice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. A heart that trusts God. A heart that trusts God. There was a pastor that had a farmer friend in his congregation, and they were talking one day. And the pastor asked the farmer, he said, "Abe, if you had 100 horses, would you give me 50 of them?" And Abe said, "Certainly." The pastor asked, "Well, Abe, if you had 100 cows, would you give me half of them?" And Abe said, "Yes, I would." And then the pastor asked, "Well, Abe, if you had 2 pigs, would you give me one?" And Abe said, "Now cut that out, Pastor. You know that I have 2 pigs." You know what? Generosity sounds good to many people, kind of in theory. Generosity sounds good in theory, but too many people are not willing to practice it. You know what? Many Christians picture themselves giving away half their money if God made them a multimillionaire. "Well, God, if you just let me win this, well, I'd give it to you." Or, "God, if you just..." Our trusting God is not just supposed to be something we do out there in theory that, "Well, if God does, makes me a multimillionaire, or if I win, you know, the whatever, then I'll give it to the Lord." No. We are supposed to trust the Lord just with what we have. Just with what we have. One of the greatest lies in life is that if we had more, we would be more generous. It's really not having more that makes a person more generous. Generosity is something that really comes from the heart. The truth is, if we won't trust God now with what we do have, then we won't trust Him if He gives us more. This afternoon we want to talk about a basic concept in Christian stewardship, and that's trusting God. Trusting God. What is a steward? A steward is someone who manages the affairs of another. A steward is someone who manages the affairs of another person. Christian stewards are those who acknowledge that God is the owner of all that we have, and we are the managers. God is the owner, and we are the managers. We are the managers. Now, let me ask you this. How do we know that we're truly trusting God? How do we know that we're truly trusting God? A faithful Christian steward is someone that is going to trust God with his or her whole heart. This morning, if you weren't in here, we talked about prioritizing God in our life. And how do we prioritize God? How do we know we're prioritizing God, putting Him first? And this afternoon, I want to answer this question. How do we know we're truly trusting God? Here's number one. Trust God's power. Trust God's power. Again, notice chapter 3, Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Don't close your Bible. Keep it open. We're going to look at the verses. When I see you looking at the verses, it encourages me, because that makes me think that you're actually paying attention. Okay? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5 says this. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? All thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Are you trusting God? Are you trusting God with all your heart? Can I ask you this? Have you ever trusted Him with your heart? You know, He's the one that has the power to forgive your sins and to save your soul. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you're here this afternoon and you've never trusted Jesus Christ with your heart, you've never put your faith in Him, you need to. You need to. And only you will know that. Only you and God know your heart and know the condition of your heart. But listen, you can trust God's power to save you. And if you're going to trust in His power to save you, you've got to trust Him with all your heart. You know, trusting God to save you is not, well, I'm going to sort of trust Him, but I'm also going to trust good works or being a good kid or going to church. You've got to trust Him completely. That's why it would bother me sometimes, people that, you know, if you try to share with them the gospel briefly, and Catholic people are good at praying. So it's easy to get a Catholic person to pray. I can do that. I have done that. And I think we should do all we can to share with them the gospel. But I'm saying this. Boy, if I just real quickly get a Catholic person to pray with me and so on, but then there's no desire in their heart, there's nothing that makes them understand that, you know what, if I'm trusting Christ, then I'm rejecting my religion. I'm no longer going to trust the Catholic Church. I'm no longer going to keep praying to Mary. I'm no longer going to, you know, there has to be that difference. Saying a prayer to trust Jesus as my Savior is not just one other prayer that I do, just like I go to church and I always say my prayers. I can be up and down. I can do my Hail Marys. I can be down on those little benches, back up and saying prayers. I can do this. And I can have somebody lead me in a prayer to trust Jesus, but then at the same time, I continue to go to the Catholic Church and trust the Catholic Church and think that it's my sacraments and this and that are important, that are necessary. I've got to do these things. There is a difference, isn't there? You know, trusting Jesus Christ as Savior is not just a matter of adding one more prayer to all the prayers that I say. It's a matter of truly with the heart believing on Jesus Christ. And a person must do that. You need to trust Him with your eternity. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Have you trusted Jesus with all your heart? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? You can do it, Chloe. Stay awake. Stay awake. I made Chloe a promise. If she stays awake a certain number of weeks in a row, she's going to get to help me with something, okay? You can do it. All right? Listen, trust Him with all your heart. You've got to trust Him. Trust Him with your eternity. Not only should we trust Him concerning our eternity, but we should trust Him entirely with every part of our life. Now, I say this to you that have been saved, that are a Christian. If you can trust Him with your eternity, if you're willing to trust Him with your soul and trust Him to take you to heaven when you die, then shouldn't it also make sense that we trust Him now with our life? And trust, if we can trust Him to take us to heaven, trust Him with all that, can't we trust Him now? Can't we trust Him on earth? Can't we trust Him in this life that we live? And I challenge you, we need to trust Him entirely with every part of our life. Don't just trust Him with your soul. Don't just trust Him with your eternity. Don't just trust Him to take you to heaven. But how about trusting Him here and now in the life that you're going to live? Trust Him entirely. Notice what the Bible says, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. The Bible teaches us, will you trust Him entirely with every part of your life? Notice what the Bible says. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And verse number 1. Romans 12 and verse number 1. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I ask you this, can you trust Him with your life? Can you trust Him with your life? Hey, we're to present our bodies, present our lives to God. It is reasonable for us to do that. It's reasonable that God would expect that we would live for Him. He died for us. He saves our soul. He takes us to heaven. He promises us eternal life. But how about right now, in the life that we live from day to day, in the things He asks us to do with our life, will you trust Him? Do you think if God loves you so much that He's willing to give His Son to die on the cross to save you and take you to heaven, do you think God's got some plot up there, some plan that, I want to ruin everyone's lives. I want to make them miserable. No, God's not like that. If you can trust Him with your eternity, hey, how about you trust Him with your life now? God's not up there with, I'm going to get them and make them miserable. No, He's not. If you trust God and you do His will, He's going to give you an exciting life. Sometimes people get the idea, or maybe teenagers even get the idea, well, people always talk, preach about doing God's will, or listen, does God have a calling for your life or a will for your life? I don't want to do that. That's going to be boring. That's not going to be exciting. I know what I want to do with my life. Listen, if there's something that God calls you to do, God is going to make you absolutely enjoy it, love it, have the time of your life. God knows how you are. God knows who you are. God knows what He created you to be. He knows everything about you. And God is not going to call you to do something that you won't also delight in and enjoy and think is awesome and incredible. God's not going to call you to some dull or boring life. He's going to call you to do something that will be rewarding and exciting. May it be difficult at times? Yes, it may, but it'll be exciting. Listen, your life belongs to God. We should steward our lives for God's glory. What does the Bible say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20? Any of you know that? That reference probably rings a bell with some of you. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye then, know ye not that ye are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Listen, we belong to God. Our life belongs to Him. And listen, you can trust Him with your life. Trust Him with your life. Listen, look here. Trust Him with your life. Your life belongs to Him. If you're going to trust Him with all your heart, you can trust Him entirely with every part of your life. Second thought, trust Him with your possessions. Trust Him with your possessions. James 1:17 tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from where? Above. It cometh down from God. It's a gift from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father. It comes down from heaven. It comes from Him. Listen, you can trust Him with your possessions. Trust Him with your possessions. All that you have is a gift from God. And you should steward it for God's glory. Here's a third thought. Trust Him with your time. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And let's look there at verses 15 to 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Listen, trust Him with your time. Trust Him with your time. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 12 says this, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, what does that mean in bringing it into relation here to Ephesians chapter 5? Hey, God, help us to understand how much time we have. Help us to understand the value of our time. Help us to understand the brevity of life. Help us to understand that we don't know how much time we have left to live. Help us to understand that we only have one life to live. Help us to understand that we only have so many weeks left to live. Help us to understand that we only have so much time. And help us to understand the will of the Lord and know the will of the Lord and make sure that with our time we're doing the will of God. Help us not just to be frivolous with our time, or to waste our time, or to squander our time. Help us, Lord, to make sure we're using it wisely. Make sure we're not just wasting our time, but make sure we're accomplishing those things that are important. Make sure we're getting done those things that we need to get done for the Lord. Hey, that's called stewarding your time. Now, it can be easy for us to squander time and just, well, where did it go? You know, a person can get to thinking, well, I know I should read my Bible. I'll read it later. I'll get it done later. I'll get it done before I go to bed. I just want to watch this first. Right? I just want to look at something first. I just want to search for something first. And before you know it, you've been searching and searching and searching and searching and searching. I know I should read my Bible, and I got to rush to work, but just let me check my Facebook first. Oh, that's a mistake. And then you're checking Facebook, and you're there, and you're there, and you're there, and you're there, and one thing can connect to another thing and link to another thing, and you see everything that everybody in the world is doing. And listen, it can be so easy that our time is gone. Well, now I got to go to work, and I didn't read my Bible. Now I got to start work, and I didn't. And we can just so easily squander our time, and you understand, and we end up missing the things that were really most important, the things that we really should have done, the things we needed to do, the things that are the will of God for our life. Let's make sure we wisely steward our time. Wisely steward our time. Hey, you can trust Him with your time. Every day, every week, every hour is given to you by God. Use your time wisely. Steward your time for God's glory. Use your time to accomplish God's will and purpose. Here's a fourth thought with that. Trust Him with your gifts and talents. Trust Him with your gifts and talents. The Bible says this in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, the Bible teaches us in Romans and in Corinthians about the spiritual gifts that God gives us. And Ephesians as well teaches us some things about, you know, how God made us, and we're to edify the whole purpose of the body and those in the church. It's under the edifying of itself. We're to be edifying one another. We're to be using our spiritual gifts to edify and encourage and strengthen one another and help one another. God gives to each person different gifts. And God gives to people different talents and different abilities. And listen, all of those are given to you by God. The fact that you're so wonderful at something is not because you're just so wonderful. It's because God gave it to you. God gave it to you. Listen, God gave you talents, Tricia. God has given you a spiritual gift, Janine. Nori, God has given to you a spiritual gift. Every person in this room, I guarantee you, has at least one prominent spiritual gift, if not more. You've got a spiritual gift. God leaves nobody without a gift. You are a gifted child, okay? You are one of the gifted children in this world. You all are. And listen, whatever spiritual gift God has given you, whatever talents and abilities you've been given, listen, those are not to be used for yourself. Those are to be used for the Lord. We're to steward everything that He's given to us for the Lord. For the Lord. Listen, you can trust Him. You can trust Him entirely. You can trust Him with every part of your life. Trust Him with your possessions. Trust Him with your time. Trust Him with your gifts and talents and so on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. Trust in the Lord concerning your eternity. Don't rely on your own thinking, your own religion. Trust Christ and be saved. Trust Him with every part of your life, possessions, time, life, talents, abilities. Listen, it's all a gift from God. And He's trusting you. He is trusting you that you would be a good steward. He's expecting you to be a faithful steward. He's expecting you to use for His glory and honor all that He has placed into your hands. Whether it's your future, whether it's your family, whether it's your finances, whatever it is, any part of life, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You might say, Pastor, He's kind of been talking a little bit about stewardship a few times lately. And I have. But can I tell you something about stewardship? It's not about raising money. It's about raising Christians who trust God. Stewardship is not about raising money. It's about raising Christians who trust God. Do you have a heart that trusts God? Do you have a heart that trusts God? Let me share with you another thought quickly. Here's our second main thought this afternoon. Trust God's principles. trust God's principles. Go back to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Find it with me. You want to see that it's God's principles and it's biblical principles. It's not just just something that you're going to hear from somebody. It comes from the Bible. It's Bible principles that we want to study and learn and practice. You can trust God's principles. Proverbs chapter 3, and let's look again, verse 5. Why don't you say it with me? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Then go down to verse number 9. What does it say? Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Does that sound like a command to you? Does it? Sounds like a command to me, right? So that's a Bible truth. That's a Bible principle of something that God is expecting. That's a principle that we can live by. God is never going to lead you down a wrong path. He's not going to lead you down a wrong path. If He says, Christian, child of mine, I want you to trust me. Here's something I want you to do. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor the Lord with all that I've given you. Your substance, you know, with your life, with your possessions, with your money, with your talents, with every part of your life. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. If He says that's what we're supposed to do, we can trust Him and do it. And we're not. He's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us. We can trust God's principles. The Bible says this in Psalm chapter 37 and verse 25. It says, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I now seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know what the psalmist says? I was young and now I'm old. And in all these years, I've never seen righteous people. I've never seen faithful, godly people. I've never seen those who determine, I'm just going to do right and do what God wants me to do. I've never seen those people be forsaken by God. Never. I've never seen those people where they've had to be begging bread. I've seen that God has always found a way to take care of them. Will you acknowledge God? Will you honor God? Will you put Him first in your life? This is, it's a Bible principle that we must live by. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Look at it. Read it with me. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Read it again. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Is that a Bible principle? Yes, it is. Can you trust God to do that? That's why, you know, God writes, the Solomon writes, God gives us His inspired word, and He's going to teach people this principle of honoring God. But just before that, just to encourage them, just to remind them of something, He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And listen, all these verses do flow together. Because if we're going to honor God with our substance and with the first fruits of all our increase, it does involve trusting God. And I think, you know what? I can do what God tells me to do. And I can trust Him. He loves me. He cares about me. He's going to take care of me. He's not going to ask me to do something that's going to make me starve to death. He's still going to take care of me. He takes care of His children. Matthew chapter 6. You don't have to necessarily turn there, because this morning we read in Luke chapter 12 and we read kind of a comparative passage of Scripture, similar passage of Scripture that tells the story of how we should, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It told the story in Luke 12. Remember about how we don't need to worry about our food and raiment and so on. If God will clothe the birds, if God will take care of if God will clothe, I'm messing it up. Yeah, if God will clothe the grass, if God clothes the earth with grass, I'm not saying it right, but you understand. I'm messing all up. God takes care of the birds to feed them. Do you think you're more important than the birds? Are you? You're more important than the birds. God loves you. If God will take care of the birds, God will take care of you. Right? And it goes on and teaches us how we shouldn't seek for these things. Don't just be concerned about these things. And then it said in verse 31 of Luke 12, and it says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you do put God first, when you honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase, God says, don't worry. Trust me. That's what Matthew 6, that's what that good portion of Luke 12 is talking about. Why are you going to worry? If you go and honor me, if you go and put me first, do you think I'm going to make you starve to death? Do you think I'm going to make it so that, you know, you just totally go without and you have nothing? No. He says, I know what your needs are. You don't even have to ask. You just trust me. You follow me. You follow my principles. You honor me and put me first, and I will take care of you. Are you practicing that Bible principle? I worry sometimes. Listen, because if you practice that principle, God will take care of you. God will. We need to trust God's principles. Will you trust God with all your heart? Will you trust God? Will you trust God that He can take care of you if you follow His principles? That's what we want. We just want Christians who will trust God. Right? We want to be Christians who will trust God. Hey, can you trust in God's power? Well, did you trust His power to save you? I mean, that seems like something that requires faith, doesn't it? You mean to tell me that you're actually trusting God to take you someplace where you've never been before? You're trusting God to save you from all the sins you've ever committed? Boy, that takes faith. And I'm doing the same thing. I'm trusting God to save my soul from hell and to take me to heaven. I'm trusting that He's forgiving all my sins. They're all washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm trusting Him. And listen, if you can trust Him with your salvation, don't you think you can also trust Him in your day-to-day living? Can't you trust Him in your life? Can't you trust Him that if you honor God and you decide that, you know what, this year in 2018, I'm going to maybe start doing something I've not done before. Or I'm going to start practicing this principle. I'm going to honor God with my substance. I'm going to honor Him with the first fruits of all my increase. I'm just going to trust God and follow His principles. Don't you think He'll take care of you? He promises that He will. Trust Him. Trust His power. Trust His principles. His principles work. If God teaches us to do something, then that is what is best. If God teaches us to tithe, then that is the best plan for being taken care of. You can honor the Lord with your giving. You can give Him first place in every part of your life. God will always take care of those who trust Him. We're simply talking about having a heart that trusts God. Notice this third thought this afternoon. Trust God's promises. We should trust God's power. He's able. Trust God's principles, what He tells us to do, what He asks us to do, what He wants us to do, and trust God's promises. Notice again Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, and I want you to read it with me, okay? Read it out loud. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. He says, I'll take care of your barn. I'll take care of your fridge. You may worry that it's going to be totally empty, and it's not going to be nothing to replace it. God will put something back in that fridge. God will put something back in those cupboards. God will help you somehow to take care of that need. Listen, God doesn't want us to live in a constant state of worry over how is this going to... Listen, trust God to honor His principles. And He promises that He'll take care of you. It's going to take a step of faith to begin to say, I'll do this and I will trust God and I will do this week by week by week, even though some weeks it may seem hard to do. I think the struggles come sometimes when people derail. People think, I'll try it, but then they try it for 2 weeks and then a hard week comes and so they get off the train, they get off the track. Keep trusting God. Keep being willing. And then and say, God, you've got to keep your promises. God, you've got to keep your word. I'm going to do it. God, I'm going to trust your principles. God, I'm going to trust and I'm going to do what you asked me to do and just trust your promise. What are God's promises? We see, of course, the promise concerning the first fruits. He's saying, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. What were the first fruits? Listen, God wants to be honored with the first. He wants to be given first place. Whether it be first place in our life, or first place in our substance, or first place in our business, or first place in our paycheck, first place in everything. We see the requirement and we see the reward there in verses 9 and 10. The requirement comes in verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's the requirement. If we want the reward, we need to do what is required. I will honor the Lord. I will trust Him with all my heart. And I will honor Him. I will put Him first. I will prefer the Lord. I'm not going to prefer, this or that thing. I'm going to prefer the Lord. I'm going to honor the Lord. I'm going to put Him first. I'm not going to prefer that thing that I see at the mall that I want to buy before paying my tithe to God. I'm not going to prefer my internet to honoring God with the tithe. I'm not going to prefer this. I'm going to make sure that I take care of that first, because that comes first. God comes first in my life. And I'll just trust Him. The first fruits. He wants to be honored. He wants to be given first place. Honor Him. And then the reward comes, verse 10, thy barns filled with plenty. Thy barns filled with plenty. Honor Him. Listen, honor Him with the first fruits. Put Him first. Listen, we should honor God with the first fruits, I personally believe, of all of our increase. All of our increase. And you say, do you really try to practice that? I really do try to practice that. So the way that I try to honor the Lord is not just with the first fruits or the tithe of a paycheck. I really do try to honor the Lord with the first tenth of all my increase. So that means if George comes up and says, hey, Pastor, I sure love you. You've been a blessing in my life. And he goes and sticks the money in my pocket. I'll tithe off of that. When my sneaky, wonderful, giving mom comes over to visit us, and she doesn't even work anymore. She's a poor lady, but she's a giving lady. Good night. She comes to visit, and she, sometime in her little sneakiness, she maybe leaves some money, hidden in some kitchen cupboard or something. You know what? We will tithe off. If some family member gave us a gift where, they helped to pay for, all our kids to get glasses or something like that, or, some of the things that, we'll tithe off of that. You say, well, with what money? Well, I didn't have to pay for all the kids to get glasses. So I will find a way to tithe off of that. Why? Because I got an increase. I was blessed. And so that's really the way I try to practice it. That I won't just honor the Lord with what we a paycheck per se, but with all the increase, whatever it is. Because remember, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It's from God. It's from heaven. It all comes from Him. And so I look at it, since it all came to Him, I'm going to honor Him with the first fruits of all the increase and all that He blessed me with and all that He gave me with. God will keep taking care of all my needs and all this, but I'm going to choose to honor Him with the first tenth of all that has been given into me, all that has been passed into my hands, all that comes through me. I want to honor the Lord with that. And I think that's a good thing to do. Honor Him with the first fruits of all your increase. All interest, all income, all increase, everything. Luke 6 and verse 38 says, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, so men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, or give, it shall be measured to you again. Honor the Lord, and God promises to reward that. So we see the reward where God promises, if you honor me with your substance and honor me with the first fruits of all your increase, I will reward that. I'll make sure your barns are filled with plenty. I'll make sure that I take care of you. Turn over to the book of Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, and we're almost done. Malachi chapter 3, and notice there verses 8 to 10. I want you to see that it's Bible principles. It's not just something for a preacher to get up and holler about that. No, it is the Bible truth. It is the Bible principle. Amen, Eric? It's a Bible principle, Bible truth that we want to teach, that we want to practice. Notice the promise here concerning tithes and offerings. He says this in Malachi 3, verses 8 to 10. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Here comes God's answer. In tithes and offerings. Because of that, notice what it says. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. The tithe is the first tenth in the Bible. And we could look through and study it and throughout the Bible, even before the law was ever even given. And it wasn't just something that God gave to Moses and you ought to do this. And even before the law was even given, you see people that were practicing the giving of the tithe to the Lord. It's just always been a biblical principle where people chose to honor God and to give God the tithe, to give God the first tenth. He says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. The tithe is the first tenth. The storehouse in that day was obviously the temple of God. Today it's the local church, the New Testament church. Listen, God's redemptive agency for mankind is the church. The church is our primary source of influence. Well, in a nation that is sick on sin, what's going to make a difference in our nation? Churches. Churches. The answer is not, you know, in Ottawa. The answer is not in Parliament here in Toronto, the provincial parliament. Listen, the answer is in churches. The answer is in the preaching of the gospel. Churches are the ones that are going to make a difference. And God wants churches to be supported by His people. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. I think it's fairly safe to assume that when Paul instructs the churches here, this was in regards to the offerings that they were gathering to send to the needy people in Jerusalem, the needy brethren, other believers in Jerusalem. But listen, if that's the same pattern that Paul instructed them to follow, I think it's safe to assume that that's kind of what the Christians always did with all their tithes and offerings. That on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, Sunday, a day when they'd always get together for church, they would get together and they just always, they set it aside and they would bring their tithes and offerings to church. And he says to the church at Corinth, you know, you had, and if we studied the whole book, you had promised also that you were going to give something for those in Jerusalem. So make sure that you're setting it aside. Make sure that you're bringing it to church on Sunday. Why? So that it can be given. Just like you promised you were going to give it. Just like you said you were going to give it. Listen, the tithe should be something, offerings are something that should be brought to the church on Sundays and given to the Lord. We give it through our church. Bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, that's the first tenth. And then it also talks about how they were robbing God in tithes and offerings. What are offerings? Offerings are something that are given just by our own free will as God works in our hearts through grace. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7 says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Listen, giving is an outward expression of our faith. Giving is an outward expression of the fact that we're growing as a Christian. We're growing on the inside. We're growing in grace. I want you to notice again in Malachi chapter 3. You know, we saw it before back in Proverbs, how there's a prerequisite and there's a reward. If we honor the Lord, He'll make sure that our barns are filled. Notice it again in Malachi. If we bring all the tithes and offerings into the storehouse, there's a reward. There's a promise made to that. Notice what it says, Malachi chapter 3, and notice verse 10 and 11. Malachi 3, 10 and 11. Bring ye all the tithes into the where? Storehouse, that there may be meat in whose house? In God's house, right? And prove me now herewith. What was it done? Trusting God. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of heaven. Here's the reward. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. And again, of course, they were in a time where a lot of people, you know, their increase and so on, income was based on agriculture and so on. So they would have understood this well. I'll make it sure that the devourer doesn't destroy the fruits of your ground. I'll make sure that you have a good harvest come harvest time. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. I'll make sure that you're not have, you know, fruit dying out there in the field or spoiling or rotten or you know, things coming and destroying your crops. He says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. The promise is there. But you know what the prerequisite really is? Will we trust God with all our heart? Will we trust God? In the middle of verse 10, he says, prove me. Prove me now. Prove me now. I want you to prove me. Prove God. Well, what's it going to take for you to prove God's faithfulness and prove that God... Trust. That's all that it takes. A heart that will trust God. A heart that will trust God will say, you know what? I'll practice His principles. I'll do what He asked me to do. I'm going to have a heart that trusts Him. Why? Because I want to prove His faithfulness. I want to prove His promises. I want to prove that He will do what He says. We need a heart that trusts God. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says, there is that scattereth. In other words, there is he, or there is that person that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is he that withholdeth more than is meet or more than is necessary, and attendeth to poverty. The liberal soul, the generous soul, shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. God says, you know, those that kind of look to be givers, they're going to increase. But those that withhold more than they should, because I know, I think I want to hold on to it. I want to do something for myself. I can't afford to tithe. I don't want to give. I don't want to help a missionary. I don't want to help that person with their need. The one that withholdeth more than they should, God says that's what actually going to tend to poverty. Some people perpetually stay in poverty because they just want to keep holding on themselves. We're going to have to trust God and prove God. Be willing to practice and follow what His principles teach us to do. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He that waters shall be watered also himself. Listen, I want to have a heart that trusts God. I want to have a heart that trusts God. That's what it all comes down to. I want my children to have a heart that trusts God. I want you to have a heart that trusts God. And you can prove Him. Prove how God is faithful. Prove that His principles work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this privilege we have to be in church. I thank You for each one here and their faithfulness. Lord, and they love You. That's why they're here this afternoon. That's why they came to church today. That's why they stayed. They love You, Lord, and I believe they want to please You with their life. I pray, Lord, You'd help us all to be Christians who don't just trust You for our eternity and trust You with our soul, but we also trust You day to day with every part of our life. We trust that Your plan for our life is best. We trust You with our possessions. We trust You with our time. We trust You with our talents and abilities. We trust You, Lord, enough that we're willing to say, okay, Lord, I take my hands off. Whatever You want from me, I'm willing to do. Whatever You ask me, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. If You want me to give, I'll give. If You want me to say yes, I'll say yes. If there's somewhere You want me to go, I'll go, Lord. If there's something You want me to do, I'll do it, Lord. Let's learn to take our hands off and trust God with every part of our life. Trust Him. Trust Him. With every part of your life. Trust Him entirely. Trust Him with all your heart. You'll never regret doing so. Never, ever, ever. Well, you have a heart that trusts God. A heart that trusts God. Ask God. Ask God to help you to be able to practice His principles. A heart that will trust Him. Why don't you prove God in your life?